The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another award-winning Kiefer and Curry show. He's Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry. We do a show every single week where we pick topics. We go back and forth. This week, it's my turn. Of course, you can hear the show at least five times a week on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio app. Download that app like 100,000 folks have. You can hear the show as many times you want. If you miss it, you can also hear it, of course, on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. We're available on every major industry, and we love doing the show. And, of course, Kip also has a show called Need to Know, which also airs five times a week. So you have 10 different shows running weekly right here on Tony Curry Radio.
Man, people are sick of me.
No, not yet, brother. As long as the content is king, as long as you keep bringing it, man, you can have as many shows as you want. So this week, Kip, I wanted to get into it's graduation season. Our babies are growing up. They're moving on. We're becoming empty nesters. And something happened this week. At the age of 57, I'm 57. I'm losing my first one. My first one graduated high school this week. And it's crazy because I've got friends of mine who lost their first ones like 20 years ago. And I had to hear about it, you know, and I was in my mid-30s. Hell, I wasn't even married at that point in time. And I'm like, yeah, congratulations. Good for you. That's great. Super. Because my mom and dad didn't even show up to my graduation. It wasn't a thing back then.
That's right.
Mom and dads, we didn't have emails. You know, moms and dads weren't emailing. You know, if you went to PTA, you were a helicopter parent, okay? And that was like once a year. You know, I don't think my mom ever went to a PTA. They never had any reason to think, you know, if you got sick at school, you just made it through the end of the day. You didn't go to the nurse's office. There were no pediatric doctors. We only had one doctor for everything. So it was a different time. And the thing I'm finding out about my 18-year-old son, and I'm really feeling it, is he doesn't need me anymore. And if he doesn't need me anymore, I've done something right. And that's a beautiful feeling. As a parent, you want your children to always need you in some capacity, and that's where Venmo comes in play, by the way. They can always Venmo you. But, you know, I don't want him to need me anymore. And much like Marlin and Nemo, you know, it's time to push the little fish out of the nest and see what he's all about. And I thought about this. You think they're ready not to conquer the world, but you think they're ready to try and conquer the world. You want them to go through everything, not that we necessarily went through, but everything you have to go through life and tech. And I had two messages for my son last night. We were praying over dinner, and it was after his graduation. And I said, first of all, understand that there are no failures in life. There are learning experiences. You know, if you do something and you don't, it doesn't come out the way you want it to, it's not a failure if you're learning something from that process. And Lord knows I've had a million of those in my life. The second thing is that everything that happens to you is a blessing. You know, we always think of blessings as wonderful things in our life. And certainly my son graduating is a blessing. But you have to look at your life, at least I do, from a biblical standpoint, that everything that happens in your life is a blessing in some form or fashion because it's part of a bigger plan that we just don't quite understand at that point in time. And so I thank the Lord for all the good things and the bad things in my life. Before we get into our topic, and I saw an article that I thought was really interesting that kind of made me think about the things that kids don't tell their parents, the things that parents don't tell their kids. But tell me a little bit about your family, about your boys, about what kind of way you grew up, some of the things that briefly you shared with them or they shared with you. I know your sons are older now, and then we'll get into our topic.
Well, you know, I've given this a lot of thought since you told me yesterday what the topic was going to be. And I don't want to be preachy or, you know, pontificate here, but I feel at this stage, my sons are 34 and 30. They're both outstanding young men. They're both doing amazing things in their lives. They both have skill sets that far exceed the old man. And I'm so pleased to be able to say that. But, you know, Tony, I think what you just said is really spot on in terms of at some stage, you know, they have to be allowed to kind of strike out on their own and find their way themselves. Because you mentioned the helicopter parent term. I mean, I know parents that are still that way. They have kids the same age that mine are, and they're still involved every day in almost every aspect of their lives because they really didn't equip their children to be ready for that challenge.
Yes.
And it just, it's like launching an airplane when you don't have enough flight hours to be at the controls. So it's almost like a constant emergency for some people. But I think for me, the key to the deal was I was so blessed to have two very perceptive, deep thinking young men that both I gave them really the best thing I did as a parent was remember the fact that in my childhood, I every time that I started to act like a dad and be, kind of preachy and I never really have the proclivity to be a dictator, but the thing that kept me in check in my fatherhood career when my kids were growing up was I had full recollection. I even wrote a book about it. I've got a book that I published called What Does George Clooney Have That I Ain't Got? And I tell about most of my severe mess ups and things that I got myself into. And I always had that perspective when I talked to them. So I think being able to, a lot of times relate my own experiences and what I learned and stressing what you just said, that every step in the journey is a chance to gain knowledge and experience and perspective and to profit from those things. I think that's really kind of was a good result because, the only thing I ever asked them to do was before you make any spontaneous decision, just take one or two extra seconds and consider the implications of what you're about to do. Think about your actions and is this a bad idea? And that's hard to take away spontaneity, but it's really good advice in terms of making a bad decision, getting a car with somebody that's not capable of driving, et cetera. And I know there are things they haven't told me, but I really think that overall, I probably know most of what they've gone through because I've encouraged them, even though they're on their own. I don't want them to ever be put in a position where they're ashamed to make a phone call to me or hesitant to do that. And I think most parents really need to portray that message that, look, I'm not here to manage your affairs. What I need to know, I need to know. But on the other hand, if you ever get in trouble or in a situation or make a mistake that you need help, do not hesitate to call me because I'm not going to love you one shred less or judge you in any way because your well-being and your success and you being able to thrive is what I'm all about. And it's almost like I think a gardener or a farmer, when you plant the seeds and you take care of them, when you get to the point where growth has occurred, you still can't just turn your back and walk away. It still needs maintenance. And I think that's kind of a good summary of what a parenthood should be.
I think that's fantastic. I told my oldest son, listen, there's so many fathers that want to be their son's best friends. I've never subscribed to that account. I was my dad's best friend, but I think I was probably 40 or 41 before I actually started feeling that way. But he was always my dad first, and I think he felt the same way. He was always the father first and then the friend second. And I always talk about generational things. It was a generational thing. And I think it's so true. And it's not because this world's gone to hell or kids are disrespective now or disobedient more so than we were. I think just because of social media, because you can keep tabs on everything. We didn't have cell phones. There are cameras. There are 14 billion cameras in this. You have to be more accountable and you have to be more responsible, not only as an adolescent and as a child, but also as a parent. And, the one thing that we always said is, do as I say and not as I do. We said that a lot when our kids were younger, despite the fact that they saw us eat 12 cookies in one sitting or drive too fast down the road or get a DUI or whatever it was. Don't do as I do as I say. But there is a point in time where as you get a little older and a little more mature and your children start getting more mature, certainly they understand what that exactly means. So there was an article called People Are Revealing the Secrets They've Never Confessed to Their Parents. And I saw this, and talk about clickbait through BuzzFeed, and it was fantastic. Some of the things that children, and some of these kids now are in 40s and 50s, that never told their parents that they post adult content that their parents don't know about, that they have tattoos, they have a disruptive DNA test, maybe one girl married her cousin, they confessed romantic feelings to a teacher when they were 14, which is a great one. Being sexually harassed at work and being fired for it, being non-binary, bisexualness. One woman had an affair on her husband that she never told her parents about. One woman I thought was very interesting. She said that she has suffered depression for years, but doesn't feel like she needs to tell her parents about it because she'll be judged for it, which is kind of sad. Numerous children said they smoke marijuana, but their parents don't know about it. One woman said she had a three-way, not once, but twice. And that's certainly something I don't think you should ever share with a parent. And then of course, several people said that they had abortions early in their lives and their parents just right. certainly would not understand. And so those are some big ones. But much like I would never ask my dad anything that I felt like was going to be disruptive or disrespectful to him. For example, in my 11-year-old, it just feels so free to ask me these questions. And then, of course, I have to answer them somehow. She's asked me, have I ever been in prison? I would never have asked that of my father. I have. And of course, I got around it by saying no, because I've been in two prisons. I said, no, ma'am. I would never ask my father that, because I'm inferring that I am looking at him as an individual who perhaps could have been arrested at some point. And my dad hung the moon. I never even thought, I didn't even want to go there. And I certainly wouldn't have asked my mom, have you ever done illicit drugs? Did you have premarital sex? I got that question last week. And the question that kind of blew me away that infers a lot of different things is, should you have ever died? Was there ever a point in time in your life where you probably should have died, but you did not? And I'm thinking, man, where are you getting these questions? And I, mm-hmm. again, I could not even think, because I looked up to my dad and my mom, and that just wasn't a question that you would ever ask a parent. I'm not saying I would have been disciplined for it, but it does infer that they're doing something that perhaps is not something that they should be doing. And so I wanted to kind of get into the topic today, and I know I'm talking a lot, but I'd love to hear some of your stories. Not only the things that kids necessarily don't need, and I'll end it with this. And when I told my 18-year-old last night, and I think you'll understand this, I've lived a pretty rich life. And my image has preceded my life, pretty much my entire, by doing 40 years of radio. I did everything from sitting on billboards, and I did wet t-shirt contest. I did it all. And I told my son, I said, listen, I said, Santo, I said, there's nothing I have never done. I said, I have pretty much done everything outside shooting somebody. I said, I've done pretty much everything. And I always came from the definition of, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody but me, I'll do it. You know, because I wanted to experience life, and I was young and stupid, and men can disagree with me here. We really don't mature till we're about 50. Guys are stupid. We're idiots. And so I told him, I said, so if you ever come across a situation that you think that I've never been through, I can promise you 9 out of 10 times I probably have been. And if you feel like you need to talk to somebody about it, I will not judge you. Just like you said, I will share my experiences, strength, and hope with you. And hopefully we can get you through this thing together. But not only, and I kind of want to turn this on its head a little bit, not only the things that children don't tell us, but what are some things that you believe parents don't share with their children? And when should they share those things with their children? I started going to Vegas with my dad when I was about 41 years old. And at that time, this is the first time I heard my dad drop the F-bomb, because we were in Vegas with 9 other guys. It's like, holy crap, did dad just, and I'm 41, so I've been saying it my entire life, right? But to hear my dad say it at a table out in Caesars, I was like, what in the world? And then he would always share a little nugget with us, that something that happened during his life when we were younger that we didn't know about. There was an arrest. I don't want to get into all the stories, but we would actually get around a table out at Caesars, and we'd be eating dinner, And my dad would go, okay, y'all ready? And he would share a little nugget. Sometimes it was a great nugget. Sometimes it was something like that. Well, what's the big deal? My dad started smoking cigarettes when he was 7 years old. I never knew. I was like, you did what? He's like, yeah, I used to smoke cigarettes when I was seven. He started sharing these little nuggets. And as he did that, we got closer and closer to him. And it became more of a brotherhood as opposed to a father-son thing. So enough of me, but what are some things that you don't feel comfortable or do feel comfortable sharing with your son? Or do you kind of dance around it a little bit?
Well, I mean, I want to weigh in real quick on that.
Take your time, because I know I've gone a long way.
You are an example of, I've been blessed. My four best friends in the world go back to when I was in eighth grade. And to this day, they're my four best friends still. So I experienced not only my upbringing, but theirs as well, and their parents along with mine. And in two of those cases, their parents were much older than mine. My parents were only 22 and 21 respectively when they brought me in the world. And frankly, Tony, they didn't have a clue what they were doing. great people, well-intentioned, but they really winged it, because I think I came, well, let's put it this way. They were married in December of 1958. And I debuted in October. So if you start counting on your fingers, that's pretty damn close. So my arrival was probably a little unexpected, but, so that kind of changed the dynamic of the relationship. But two of my friends, really kind of the same experience as you, it was a generational thing. And those guys' dads both were old enough where they, probably didn't father Joe or Mark until they were in, almost 40, if not already 40. So, I mean, they went back to like the Depression era, and they grew up in a completely different time where it was a completely different mindset in terms of just surviving, and the responsibilities of, quote, being a man were a completely different set of circumstances.
Great point.
And so their upbringings were completely different than mine. I had, you mentioned your relationship with your dad. My situation, I think what gave me a lot of preparation for this assignment of being a father, and came from the fact that my dad and mother got a divorce when I was 12 years old, back in a time where divorce wasn't very prevalent. It wasn't really a thing. I didn't know a single other person in my whole network of people in school and that I dealt with that had parents that were divorced at that time. It wasn't really very common. And I was just appalled by it. I was, you talk about keeping secrets. It wasn't from my parents. It was from my friends and all of the people that I dealt with, all my teachers and other people. I didn't want anybody to know. Yeah. That was like, I was scarred. I was humiliated. I was embarrassed. My family had come apart at the seams. And my dad was the classic late 30s. Well, let's say at that time, he was still only his mid 30s. So, but he was basically, it was Bill Kiefer gone wild. He just had his second childhood. He got married young, and he just cut loose and got involved with a lot of questionable individuals. And all this is in my book. But I talk about later on when I went up, because he was really pushing me. He had been transferred to Memphis, was really pushing for me to go to college up there away from everything I knew in Georgia. So he wouldn't, he could pay less if I had residence with him and in-state tuition. And when I went to Memphis for the first time, because I had been pretty much separated from him for a couple of years and didn't want anything to do with him because he had had a lot of new relationships. One of them with a bartender in downtown Atlanta who was a little bit questionable in the character department. I mean, I'm sure she was a lot of fun, but and I don't want to take up a lot of time, but when I got to Memphis for that first visit, when he was trying to recruit me to go to school at Memphis State, the first place we went was the strip club called Gigi's Angels. And it turns out, Tony, that Gigi was the former bartender who he had basically been the homewrecker for my family.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't know that, of course, because he did not share that with me. But it was pretty easy to put the two pieces together. So sitting there in that place and her coming over and talking to us, they had broken up by that time, because by the time that he moved her to Memphis and they got settled in, she was too wild even for him. She was having a lot of other people over, and well, I don't need to get into the details, but you can paint the picture in your head. But it was one of the most surreal experiences of my life to be sitting there at a table in a strip club with the proprietor, who had been financed by some of the money guys. We talked about Jerry Lee Lewis last week. Some of those guys had set her up in business there. Oh, wow. And for her to be asking about what my goals were, what my future was, and all that kind of stuff. Very interesting afternoon that I spent there. So that gives you a little perspective on what I dealt with. And I didn't have to ask my dad if he'd gone to jail. I had to bail him out twice. So, wow. You know, so anyway, I had a whole different experience. But I think in some ways, like you said, everything that happens to you is a great teacher, because I think that kind of prepared me with our role reversal for my fatherhood career. And I think I did a lot better job. And my dad was just a good time guy, and we had so many great times, but that was my experience. I think from a parents of what not you don't tell your kids, the fact, and I get criticized for it, sometimes I do Facebook posts and I really kind of let it fly and let my feelings be known. And like I say, I wrote a book, pretty much an autobiography about all the different dumb things I've done. So I've been more of an open book. I'm not very guarded on that, because I really take to heart what you said. I think every day that you're around here, you build experience and perception, and there's no such thing as, you know, unless it's something catastrophic. Everything's a learning opportunity. And I think you were spot on when you said that. So that's just a little background of where I am as we continue the discussion. Maybe people have more of a perspective of where I'm coming from and some of the ways that I've developed and the views that I hold dear.
You're listening to Kiefer and Curry. Of course, we do the show every single week. He's Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry here on TKR. You can hear the show at least 5 days a week and anytime on our Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network, as well as Kip Kiefer's Need to Know, which also airs 5 times a week. Yeah, you know, the thing that I think that we've gotten a little away from, and I will say this, and again, we're going to go generational here. I think fathers are a much bigger part of children's lives now than they were back in our generation. And generationally, we're talking 17 to 20 years. So you can go back a couple of generations if you want. It was just a foregone conclusion that the father was going to work, the mother was going to stay home.
Yes.
And you know, I never threw ball with my dad in the backyard until I was probably in my 40s. He used to love to pitch horseshoes. I didn't go camping with my dad. My dad never went to church. He was a newspaper distributor for the Cincinnati Inquirer, so he worked 7 days a week for over 40 years, never missed a day of work in 40 years.
Wow.
But he would work from 11 o'clock at night till 8-9 o'clock in the morning. There were many mornings where he'd stop up at Earl's Pony Keg, after a long night of throwing over 1200 newspapers, and would have a couple of beverages. And I never forget it. He would be sitting at the breakfast table while I was going to school, and he'd be sitting there smoking a Marlboro, and he'd put his Marlboro out in a half of a grapefruit on the kitchen table while he ate some cottage cheese. And I can remember that smell of cigarette smoke, cottage cheese, grapefruit, and Bud Light. And
it was a combination.
It was one of the best smells and I can still smell it. It would waft across the table. It would just bring a smile to my face.
Reassuring.
And I love that man more than anything. And again, you know, when you paint a picture, you got to paint the entire canvas before it's finished, right? And it's always changing before you sign your name at the bottom. And that's what I hope children look at when they look at their fathers, because we do change. We're both changing. We're both going in different directions. I think my big thing is, you know, I have made a ton of mistakes. And much like your book, my radio show on Jox, on ESPN, and certainly on Classic Rock 99.5, that was my book. And I think one of the reasons so many people like to listen to me was I would tell it like it is. And mm-hmm. I shared everything so much. So, I mean, I give out my cell phone number here on TKR. I don't care. And people would call me and they would know so much about my life. And I'm thinking I'm getting stalked. Well, no, it's because I shared it on the radio last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so I have always done that. I've always been as transparent as I possibly could be. And I've always wanted my kids, and I think this goes for most parents, you want them to learn from your mistakes. But you know what? They've got to learn on their own. And I think ultimately when it comes down to what you share with kids, regardless of whether they ask these questions or not. Now, I know some families still where kids would never even think to ask those questions. And certainly when we're talking about graduation ages, I think some kids are smart enough they can kind of see through the smoke screens of what you're trying to hide, if in fact you're trying to do that. But, you know, Dr. Josh always says, you know, the last thing, you always hold the trump card, and that is my house, my rules. If you're in my house, it's my rules. And the second thing is, and he goes, and don't fret to use this, he said, but sometimes you just got to tell your kid that's just the way it is.
Yep.
It's just, you know what? You're not getting that answer. I don't owe you that answer. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of this world. And that's just the way it is. Don't ask me again. And if they want to keep on keeping on, and if they sit there and want to, you know, I mean, for God's sakes, my kid's in debate club. So you know that I get some questions on occasion. I'm going, dude, I'm not answering this question. I'm not going there. And sometimes I'll just revert back to one day you'll understand. That's the best the way I could put it. One day you'll understand. It'll probably be when you're about 50, like most men. But the one thing, and we could do an entire show on this other thing, is I do think because more men are, and fathers are so much more inclusive in their children's lives, that we are a little bit more, we're not the nurturing one. The mother normally is the nurturing one. Let's just be real here. We're the financial providers for the most part. And we want to be part of those recitals. We want to go to those graduations. We want to throw a ball with our boy. We want to be the coach of the little league team. We want to do all those things. And I think sometimes by doing that, we get too close to our kids. What I mean by that is we become their friend. And I don't think you should ever be a friend with your father before he's a father first.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's why I'm just on the beginnings of the part of my relationship with my sons. As I mentioned, both of them are now in their 30s for the first time. And I think all that I invested in terms of, providing and making sure that I would be a resource, I kind of stayed out of the way and let them do their things. And they've both evolved into who they are now. But this is a very, and this is something you can look forward to. This is a very good time in life. I mean, you recount so fondly, and you can just hear the emotion in your voice talking about your relationship with your dad and the later parts of his life. I'm just on the cusp of starting to enjoy that now. And it's really special that, you get to a stage, and my broadcast partner that some folks have heard on Need to Know and does shows with me during football season, Terry Quillian, always says, I just think it's amazing your relationship with your sons now. And she's referring to the fact that we're close and do things together. My son and I are getting on an airplane. We've watched up every second of the Vegas Golden Knights, the hockey team's journey through the playoffs. They eliminated heavily favored Edmonton night before last. We're going to Las Vegas this week and going to both games. And
nice.
I mean, how special is that when you have your son to hang out with and the other son's in the press box covering the game? So
That's awesome.
You know, I'm at a great place in my life, and I'm really getting the fruits of the labor. But Tony, one thing I do want to say, and I don't want to preach to folks, but I it's something that I say to anybody that I have a conversation in this area with. And again, I'm not trying to pawn myself off as an expert. I just took a shot and have come out pretty good on the other side. But one thing I would really like to add is I don't think people give their own kids enough credit or enough trust to make good decisions. I think you got to put it in their hands, because ultimately the reason that most relationships between parents and children break down or communication becomes difficult is because parents want to be managers and more than parents. In other words, you know, doing a rigid sort of rules, thinking that that's going to be more productive than letting them make their own decisions. But I don't think parents give their own children. These kids are not just strangers you pick up on the street corner who you have to break in. These people are part of you. Mm-hmm. These people are you. And if you don't have enough confidence in yourself and them to make good choices and to use the brains that you passed along and the good judgment. I think you're really making a mistake. And I know too many parents, and anytime I don't ever correct anybody, but anytime I hear somebody say, well, I've cracked down and done this and done that, you're really making the relationship more strained and more difficult to open those communication lanes. And I think in that article that you sent, and I read it, I mean, the very first one, the girl's a secret porn star and can't tell her parents. There's more to the discussion than what she's not telling them. How did she get to that place, and what could they have done? And again, maybe she may have
worked at a strip club in Memphis.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. So you don't know everybody's backstories, but you don't need, and that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah.
Because you actually have a daughter, so you have more perspective than me. And I get in trouble these days because everybody's exactly the same. It's what they want us to believe. But I think sons and daughters are different in a lot of ways. Oh, so man. I don't know. I think the good Lord above was smart enough to not put a daughter in my camp, because I think I would have had her on lockdown with a security guard posted outside the door. I can't imagine anybody letting their daughters even loose in this society, but that's the stupidity I have. So I think maybe that's a blessing for me.
I always say she looks like her mother and acts like her father. We're in a world of hurt, man, but at least I got a couple more years to hone in on my skills with my two boys. I'll leave you with this. And if you have a good relationship with your kids, and I hope most parents do. And again, I don't ever tell parents how to parent. I don't, you do whatever you want. As long as you're not abusing your kid, I don't care what you do. If you want to take your kid's phone away for 2 years because they're watching SpongeBob after 11:30 at night, you do you. I don't care. I'm not going to parent your kids. But if you do have a good relationship with your kids, there really aren't any secrets. A good parent will sense that something's going on with their child, even if they're 35 or 40. I would venture to guess that this woman who's posting adult content on OnlyFans, I think, unless she is estranged from her parents, and I think a lot of these people are, they're going to know. They're going to know if they have a good relationship. If you talk to your parents 3 or 4 times a week, they're going to know. And the other two things is that I was trying to think, is there anything my dad didn't know? Because I pretty much shared everything with my dad. The first time I got really, really drunk was when I was 15. The drinking age was 18. I was in Cincinnati and I was working with my father. I was stuffing newspapers with him on Saturday night. And every 3 minutes I had to go in the bathroom and puke. And I would turn the TV up real loud. And I must have puked 20 times. He never said a word to me about it. My dad knew. My dad knew what happened. And then that Sunday morning, you know, obviously I'm still working at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, you want to have a cup of coffee with me? We just finished up. And he just kind of looked at me and didn't even smile at me. And he had to have known. The other time is one time I bent all 4 rims on his brand new Grand Marquis. And that entailed some alcoholic beverages as well. When I was down at Xavier University, I took the car out and, he's like, how'd you do that? And I said, man, I must've hit a curb or something. I don't remember. And of course he just kind of looked at me, and my dad was a newspaper distributor. So it wasn't like when you bend 4 rims, you're getting some serious cash. But he always let me kind of figure it out on my own. And thank goodness he had a son that learned, the first time and didn't do it again. So those were a couple of things, but you know, the things my dad never told me, I'm totally good with. I don't want to know. He could tell me and it would have made a difference, but great show. And we could probably we'll re-air this Father's Day weekend coming up later on in June. We can certainly do that because I think we consider ourselves 2 fathers, and now we just have to hope our kids go off and make us super proud, and then they do that with their children. Hey, Kip, great show, man. Thank you so much. The Kiefer and Curry Show, you can hear 5 days a week on TKR, Tony Curry Radio. Get the TKR app. We have over 100,000 downloads. And then, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to the show. We have different topics every single week. Kip will have next week's, and we'll get after it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, Tony. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.